pardon me, today in our series, God Speaks, we are looking at maturity. And it's interesting just listening to what's been going on in other churches through the COVID situation, how there's been upset, how there have been people who have separated themselves, and in some churches, well, in one church, I should say, I've heard where a certain group of people have sat over here and another group of people have sat over there. partly that's had to do with vaccination, but it's also had to do with attitude over COVID. So I just want to say, when we talk about maturity, I'm so grateful for the way that in this church we haven't had this group and that group. I'm sure people have got different opinions and you've reacted differently, but within the church body, there has been a sense, from my point of view, of maturity, and for that, I thank you. Now, I'm not sure how you learn something, or how I learn something sometimes. Like, do you learn something, don't do it? Is that how you learn something, or do you immediately go and do it? A bit like Adam and Eve, don't eat the apple. Oh, I can't get there quickly enough to get a bite. Or do you learn better through encouragement and reason? I think those of us who have got children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, or anyone else, I think we've realised that the best way to teach someone something is to give a reason for it. Don't do that because you'll burn your hand, or don't cross the road in front of a car, or you will get run over. All of those reasons. So I think, although this little section of scripture that Miriam's read to us can be taken as harsh, I like to think about it and take it as encouragement. So if you've got your Bibles or your pads or phones or whatever you follow from, just turn back to the end of chapter 5 where we started. I always walk out here and forget the little gadget. So while you're finding your Bible, thanks Thomas, while you're finding your Bible, why has the writer written this? Well, because the people weren't hearing. They'd become dull of hearing. They'd become, not this again. It's interesting, isn't it? When we have communion, and that was a lovely reminder of what communion's about, do we think, communion again? Or do we say, isn't this a wonderful reminder of where we stand in Jesus? You know, we're coming up to Christmas. Not again. The birth of Jesus! Don't we all want to celebrate? Now, I don't mean ridiculously, but, you know, we don't need 1,000 Christmas trees and everything else, but the wonder of that. Have we become like these people, dull of hearing? They don't listen. They're still with milk and not meat. Should be teaching, but they're still pupils. Like, yeah. Friends, what does maturity really mean, going on to maturity for us? Well, I think it involves a few things. It involves the fact that we now can think through with Christian thought and principles. It reminds me of Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed in your brain, in your thinking, Paul says to us, so that we think the things of Jesus. Someone has said, age is inevitable. Maturity is a choice. And you know some adults who are babies. Guess. Why isn't God doing this for me? Why isn't God... Oh, friends, let's grow up. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, but his ways are much better than ours. So let's tune in to God and his thinking. So, maturity in our mind, as I've got there, we can think things through from a God point of view. We are open to hear God say, be transformed. So when we are going to do something or think something through, now, where are the God principles here? How does this work with my Christian faith? How does the spending of my money fit in with my Christian values? These sorts of things. And then our life. Maturity. Does it reflect Jesus? Does it reflect the Holy Spirit working in my life? How is it really? What am I really on about? So Hebrews is written not to a place. It's not written to Rome or to Corinth. It's not written to answer some problems. It's written to challenge the people and, I believe, to encourage the people and to encourage us. That's what I think. I want to take it as an encouragement, not a you better do it. All right, so I hope we go away today saying, how wonderful. When I first went to Ballarat in the late 70s as a student pastor, one of the elders in one of the churches came to me and said, Colin, you needn't worry about any Old Testament teaching. Oh, Reg, why not? We don't need the Old Testament. Righto. We just want something on Sunday morning that's New Testament, and we want that to take us through to Wednesday because that's the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. So just take us there, and then on Wednesday give us something to take us on to the next Sunday. But don't worry about the Old Testament. Now, friends, we need the Old Testament to understand Jesus. We need the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. So that's part of maturity. Not saying, oh, I only want happy stories about Jesus doing nice things. No, we have to have the Old Testament giving us the basis for the new. So are we mature in understanding how all of this fits together? Becomes very important for us. So, God has spoken, and why has the writer, some people say it's Paul, others say different things, but the writer to the Hebrews then goes on into chapter 6, having said, this is why I'm writing to you, because you've become hard of hearing things, you're not really the mature people you're meant to be. So I'm trying to help you understand, he says, how this can happen. Therefore, depending on your translations in verse 1 of chapter 6, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on. Now, he's not saying let's forget them or ignore them. Let us go on past the elementary stage. Most of us here have been Christians for a long time. A long time. And so writer is just saying, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's not be happy to be babies in Jesus, but let's go on with what we know and grow in Christ. So, on the basis of chapter 5, because the writer is saying, you're not where you should be, he says, right, well, let's go on in a positive way. And that's what I think. As I say, I want to take it as encouragement, not, you're so slow as children, get on with it. No, I think he's just saying, move on. So, ways of doing that. Let's leave behind some of those doctrines that you like to go over and go over and go. I suppose what he's really saying is you don't have to keep reading the 23rd Psalm every morning. Like, go on with some other things. Challenge yourself in new ways in your Christian growth. So here are some of the joys that he mentions. Some of the things that we know about that are basic to us. Repentance and forgiveness. Great. We need these as a basis. But what does that really mean to be forgiven? Well, it means we're free. So the next step is, if we're free, does it mean we're living as free people? Or are we still bound up with guilt and bondage and restriction? Or have we moved on? Are we going and living as he wants us to? Faith towards God. Baptism. Now, it was interesting because in the early days of baptism, those being baptised had to be instructed very, very carefully. And it was said, at your baptism, you were instructed in the basics of Christian faith. Don't go back, which is interesting. You were instructed in the basics of Christian faith, don't go back. That was part of the instruction of those people being baptised. Laying on of hands, well, that means lots of things, but it meant blessing. It meant freedom from guilt or guilt passing off. It also meant gifts being bestowed and the awareness of the Holy Spirit. So, the writer is saying, you know these things. This is part of the bundle or the package that you had when you started. So, let's move on. The other thing I love about this little package is that it's in plural. It's not him saying, I'm telling you, but he's saying, we are in this together. Let us leave some of these things behind and let us move on together. I love that idea. At the end, we're going to sing that song about brother and sister, let me be your servant, serving and encouraging each other. We're in this together in the growth of our Christian faith. It's why it becomes so important that we encourage and teach our children. It's why we need to encourage young folk in the faith, that we need to go on and develop. So these are some of the joys of Christian life. Don't ignore them, reinforce them, but at the same time, don't just stay there. Let's move on, is what we're encouraged to do. Now, there's a bit of a challenge, because having said, you're not where you should be, move on. Don't forget the basics, but move on. He then says, and again, it depends on your translation, for it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have been enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift and all of the rest. So it's impossible for those who've been enlightened, who have been baptised, who have had the heavenly gift, the blessing of God, who have understood the Holy Spirit, they've tasted the Word of God, and they've understood what's happening. Is it impossible? Is it impossible? Well, friends, if it is impossible, there are certain questions we need to ask. Is there any hope? So if it's impossible to restore someone, these are the questions we need to ask. Is there any hope for a person? So if you know someone who has been a Christian or claims to have been a Christian, people who have prayed with you, been in your home group, and now they've shot through from Christian stuff, maybe even say, no, I'm not a Christian anymore, or I'm not interested. Is there any hope for them? Well, I've got up there. Some people say once you're a Christian, you can't lose your salvation. But if you can respond to the gift of God and walk in, well, you can walk out. Secondly, were they ever truly saved is a question. The third thing is, do we take this literally? It's impossible. So if you walk out, you miss out. That's it. Or is it hypothetical with a big if? Now, some of you are probably saying, oh, Colin, read this properly. Well, it's against the background of people longing to go back to Judaism. This is written to the Hebrews, to the people who had experienced a lot of upbringing in Old Testament. They knew that. They had the Ten Commandments and all the rest of it, and they just thought, oh, this new stuff in Jesus, is it too much? We just felt so secure in the old stuff. Let's go back. And also, let's realise, the persecution was around the corner at every spot. So it was easier to stay back there than be new and to be persecuted as a Christian. That was not easy. Not easy in the world today, but this was the situation. Dreadful times. The question was often asked of Christians, did you deny Christ to save your life? I told the story just recently of the Chinese situation. If your mum and dad have got a little book that they read at night and then put in a secret place, tell me tomorrow at school and you'll get a lovely red scarf. Kids came and said they got the red scarf, but when they went home, mum and dad weren't there. And then around dark, people from the government arrived and said, your mum and dad never really loved you. Come with us and we'll look after you. Did you deny Christ to save your kids? Might be a bit tough. We just sort of persecution. Yeah, it's real. Did you deny Christ? The if I've got there is what a number of people feel is the answer to this. That the situation was presented, but the encouragement was to go on. If you fall back, it is incredibly difficult. Now we need to ask, is it impossible? Is that the correct word? Well, in some ways it perhaps is. And you know how hard it is to bring back people that you know who have gone off. But if it's impossible, friends, I've got down there, if it's impossible, why would we bother to pray for people? What does the story of the Good Samaritan, prodigal son tell us? Well, there was Dad waiting with his arms and the kid came back. The kid who had walked away. Now, is that symbolic of walking away from all that God had offered, all that the Father had offered, and he comes back and he's embraced? What would you have done with Peter? Do you know this man? No, I never knew him. First denial. Did you know this man? No. Might be out. Third time, did you know him? No. Righto. Off to hell. Three denials. But what does Jesus do? Jesus ultimately comes back to Peter and says, have things changed? Do you love me? Have you had time to think it through? Were those tears serious? So friends, it's not an easy passage of scripture, but it challenges us to think about if it's possible with God, the things that are impossible for us as humans are possible with God. Is anyone beyond repentance? So is this just hypothetical? Keep on is the encouragement, but be warned, because if you go away, it is very difficult to come back. Now, I've got up there, is it impossible for others to bring a person back? Or like the prodigal son, does it have to be the prodigal son coming to his own senses and coming back of his own accord? Maybe that's true. But the challenge is not to wander away. That's the challenge. Don't wander away. Now, some of you are saying, but you know how difficult it is, don't you? If you've got a friend who was a Christian or who came to church, how difficult it is to get that person to come back, to encourage them back. What can you do? All you can do is pray that God will work in that person's life and that somehow the circumstances of that person's life will change. Some of you have got family who are not where they should be spiritually. Kids who grew up in the church who aren't there anymore. So do you just say, oh, too bad, don't care about them? No, of course not. Of course not. We're all praying flat out for our children. We're all praying for people we know who once knew Jesus, that somehow they'll come back. But it's only possible with God working, of course. No amount of talking from us, probably. No amount of coercing. You know, you should be a church. No. Only God can zap a person. But we need to be doing our part. So, with man, it might not be possible. But with God, all things are possible. It's why we pray. It's why we're here. Otherwise, we might as well all be down the beach. So, a difficult passage we need to think about. But then the writer comes to the end. I don't know whether he thinks he's been a bit tough or whatever. But he comes after saying you're not where you should be, leave certain things behind and go on and just be warned. But now he says, there's some lovely encouragement. And here's the encouragement. Even though we speak like this, even though we speak like this, here's the corporate, we're all in this together thing, even though we speak like this, dear friends, isn't that just a gorgeous statement, how someone has interpreted this? Dear friends, we're confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. So, yep, what I'm saying is you show certain qualities that are important. I wonder if the writer realised that there are times in Christian life when you've had it. You're exhausted. You can't be bothered. I've had it. So he just says, Dear friends, let's run with this. God will not forget the love you have shown him. Now, it's interesting, he doesn't say in your theology. He doesn't say in your theology. He says, you have shown God's love by your work, your love and your help to others. So, friends, if you're a bit, I've had it, just remember that God has not forgotten what you have done or what you are doing, particularly if you are showing in your life the qualities of love and help. Please don't feel had it. Just go on and be encouraged. Now, it might be that some of those people in the end of chapter 5 felt, oh, we can't do any more. I'm up to here with understanding. That's all right. Just continue to live out your Christian faith. And I think that's a sign of maturity. When we feel we've had it, we've had enough, I can't do any more, just continue to live out your Christian life. And again, I think it's lovely that in verse 11, we desire each one of you. We are anxious that each of you. You know, isn't it amazing? Each one of you, God says, we want you to go on, each one. Faith and patience. There are others who have gone before, who have probably felt exactly the same, who have felt had it, who feel almost worn out. But what did they do? They continued on, each one of them, realising that full assurance of hope comes at the end. So be imitators, the writer says, of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So friends, if you're feeling a bit had it, just continue on, basing your life on the faith and the promises of God, patiently serving him. You might need a bit of a shove or a nudge if you're in that, I'm very happy just sucking on the milk bottle. You might need a bit of a shove or a push to move on. But then reflect on all that is yours in Jesus. How wonderful. How wonderful. And if you know people who have wandered away, please continue in prayer for them. For with God, nothing is impossible. And I'm sure that if we ask some stories here, there would be some of you who have said, brought up in the church, went to a whole lot of Christian stuff, gave it all up, threw it away, and went away into, as people used to talk about, the wilderness for some time. But then God brought me back, probably through the prayers of my family or friends. So let's hope that we can bring back some people who at this stage are not where they should be spiritually. But the challenge is for us to continue to go on to maturity, to be mature in Jesus, not babes. Let's pray. Our Father, it's very easy for us to feel bashed and hit and told we're not where we should be and this isn't right and this isn't right. But we take these words as words of lovely encouragement. Encouragement that says to us, let's base our life on the foundation that we've got. But let's move on. Move on to all that you have for us. We've sung about the fact that we are free. We have been reminded in communion of all that is ours in Jesus. And so we come to you now and ask, Lord, that you would just put your finger on anything in our lives that needs to be touched or altered or upgraded, as it were, anything that needs to be just brought into line with your word and your ways. And for any here today who are feeling a bit had it, tired out, exhausted, thank you that you reminded us through your word that God has not forgotten anything that is done for him in a loving or helpful or consistent way. So be an encouragement to us, we pray. And Father, for those who don't know Jesus or those who have wandered away, who are on our heart, may we be faithful in our prayer, believing that with you all things are possible, even that which seems to be impossible. Father, bring into your kingdom those who are on our heart and in our prayers we pray. Through Jesus. Amen.